Shos Avreichem on page Kuf Chaf Aleph. Here the Rebbe is teaching us tachbulas, different strategies of how to be in the milchama, to fight against the Yetzer. And in this paragraph on page Kuf Chaf Aleph, the Rebbe, who had just spoken to us about the importance of knowing how in one's mind to deal with a Yetzer Hara, with a Taiva, he made the chilek between, which we'll continue talking about, the chilek between thinking, being in something in your thoughts, and so to speak, participating in something in your thoughts, being part of a dinyan, of a machshava, as opposed to separating yourself and distancing yourself to think what he calls oidos hamachshava, or oidos ha'inyan, about that thing. And he was giving some examples how that works. And on page Kuf Chaf Aleph, here the Rebbe was telling us that a klal in general, that when a person is trying to become an ish milchama, somebody that's in the milchama, that's fighting in this milchama, with those machshavas and feelings that one shouldn't have. So if you're going to use any of these tachbulos, any of these strategies, only when it comes, if you'll try to use them when it comes to the big milchama with the enemy, with the sinai, with the oyev, which is the Yetzer Hara, so then you will not be somebody who is trained, who is well trained, and who is experienced at using the koyach, this koyach of machshava that he's talking about. So the same way he was explaining, the same way that we know that in the army, that before a soldier is prepared to go out and fight on the battlefield against the true enemy, the soldier has to go through certain war games with those who are not really his enemies. In this particular maneuver, he calls this is a misnagate, somebody who is on the other side of this war, which is not really a war against an enemy who's trying to destroy you. And in Avodas Hashem, that means, as he's explaining, is that when a person is misragel, he gets into the habit of being somebody who, when it comes to divrei rishus, when it comes to things that are not mamish also, it's not the Yetzer trying to destroy the person, it's not the oyev, the sinei, that's trying to destroy you, and it's something which is a dover shel hetter, something which is permitted to you. It's not a dover iser. It's not something which is aser. It's something which is achila, eating and so on, it's a divrei rishus. But the person who develops his ruchnius dika muscles by being able to withdraw or withstand the temptations of divrei rishus and to hold back in divrei rishus, so that person is developing kaychas hanefesh that will prepare him that when it comes time for the true battle, the battle with the enemy, when it comes time for Dvarim Shel Issa Mamish, the Taivas and things that are forbidden, that this person will have the Kaichas to be able to deal with it. So this is what we're learning about in Kuf Chaf Aleph. We're around 10 lines up from the bottom, the last couple of words on the line are Oz Kishayava Ladovish Utsani Chazak Bai. See, there are many things in life that a person just enjoys, but he's not Meshuga. He's not meshuga over that thing, he just enjoys it. It's a dover rishus. So if he knows how to say no, like we were talking about last week at the end, Hashem Berech is Avon Bakol. Bakol is the Isis Bakoach Kein Lo, where a person develops that ability to be able to say yes to something that he should say yes to, and to say no to something that's not good for him, to something that's wrong. Even if it's not a Darvishal Issa, but it's something that he doesn't need right then in life, at that time. So the Rebbe says, Oz Kishiyova Ladovisha Ritzanik Chazak Bai. Then when it comes to something with Taka, strong Ratzin. Afgam Tzad Issa, or something where there's even a Tzad of an Issa. Harbe Yitzdarech Lahazi Achi Yisgabav of Yisrachik Meno. If he's a person that is not used to being in the small skirmishes with divrei rishus, with their little taivalach and little yetzaharalach, not the big taivis and the big yetzar, if the person is not used to being victorious in the small skirmishes with the yetzar over the taivis, so then when it comes to something which is a very big temptation, where there's a very big ratzin, and even at sad isa, then harbe yitzdarech lahazi ad shisgabbo, it'll be very hard. He'll have to work very, very, very hard to be misgaber. V'yisrachek mimenu. See, this is a problem that our generation has in a way that perhaps earlier generations didn't suffer as much from this. Our parents and grandparents, they didn't indulge so much in this world. And Dvarim Shel Hetter, they were not used to having so many things in this world. They were people who grew up without much, and therefore the battlefield was relatively small, and they were not used to indulging in whatever the heart desires. They were used to being deprived of things and not having things. Our generation is a generation that indulges in anything that has what appears to be some sort of a heksher, anything that a person wants to find a way to be able to enjoy that, and so on. So since there's never been a generation who's had as many answers of yes to what he wants, to what a person wants, so it's very, very upsetting when all of a sudden somebody tells you no. It's very upsetting. I was just explaining this to somebody. I was talking to some of the chevra. People are so shocked and dismayed, you know, when it came to this Indian that the heksher is taken from one of the local stores. People can't believe it. As they can believe that there are 1,000 places that get a heksher, but oy vavoy if it happens once in 20 years that the vada kashu says you can't eat in that store. There's a whole mahapecha in the community. You're telling me that I'm not supposed to go to that. That's my favorite kugla I get over there. That's my favorite, you know, piece of roast I get in that place. Oy vavoy, if you contend with the Jewish stomach. Because everybody's used to hearing time after time after time, mutlach, mutlach, mutlach. And it's not like you have, like you when you live in a small town, you have one kosher restaurant, and you know that every place else is low, low, low. Every place else in town you can't go into. I don't live in the 5 towns and I shouldn't be able to roll from one kosher store to the other. You're telling me at this place I have to skip this place? I have to look and see all those things on the shelf, and I have to look at and I can't have it? And all the Nebuch, the spoiled babies are crying. What's going to be? Gewalt, gewalt, gewalt. What to eat? There's nothing to eat. And there it is. When you're growing up in a culture, a frum culture, where everything is yes, 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 and someone comes along and says one time, nobody can believe it. How could it be? We must find a way to kash this. We must do something. Get the rabbi to bless the tray for whatever it might be in that place. Get the rabbi to bless it, that everything should be good, because we don't want anybody to tell us we can't have something. And it's like that when it comes to everything. When it comes to everything, it can't be that it should be us. We're not prepared to hear the words also. And if somebody says that something is also, then there are all kinds of suspicion. Why would you say that it's also? Nobody has suspects why something is mutter. Nobody has a reason to be nervous that something is mutter. So we're living in such a time where everything is cane, yes, yes, yes. And if somebody says no, if a parent says no, all my friends, everybody has every yes, yes, yes. Everything is yes, and you have a parent. The parents are afraid. He says, "No, I, you know, He says to his 8-year-old, I don't want you going to, you know, I don't want you spending the summer on a trip in Africa or something. To his 8-year-old, because there are a couple of 8-year-olds from the neighborhood that are going on a trip. So the parents say, I prefer that you, because you can't say no. You say, I prefer that you wait maybe a year until you do the grand, you know, tour. I prefer that you wait a year, right? So the kid says, what? You said no? I heard no. I say, I prefer that you don't. No, you mean no. You're saying that I can't go on the trip, and all my friends are going on that trip. All my friends are going on the trip, and you said no. I'm asking that you please don't go. You know, then you have to start saying, I'm worried about you, could be, you know, I don't know. And you can't say, I think that you're a little pipsqueak and you should be at home. And it's, well, what are you talking about? Where are you going? You're not going anywhere. You know, when we were kids, I didn't handle with my father like I asked my father something, and he looked up. If I was lucky, he would say no. Well, he just put his head back and continue reading. It wasn't like the desire, like you have to hear like a schmooze. Like I would ask something, and it wasn't like the guys are going to the city to do this. And my father would just look up and go. and that was the end of it. Now it's, we have to, the parents have to have a meeting and a discussion, and they go to talk to one local therapist about how should we present this to our child. But I'm not sure how to present this. It's the same thing in the yeshivas, in the schools. Cane, everything, yes. So, and we're talking about, if you're talking about Dvarim Shel Rishus, so what do you expect this person to do when it comes to Dvarim Shel Rishus? That's what the Rebbe's saying. But when a person's whole life is one where he's constantly developing his kaychas and nefesh to what? To say no, and to withstand something, and to hold back, and to be misrachi. So then when it comes to, God forbid, a Dovah Shel Isser, when it comes to something, to the real type of Isser, God forbid, where something is an Aveira, we're not talking about having a sandwich or going on a trip, but when there's something that's an Isser Mamish, he's able to hear no. It doesn't knock him out that someone says to him no, or that his own Yetzer Hara says to him, this is not good for you. This is not good for you. So that's the Rebbe's explaining, is that unless you're murgal, and I see this as being one of the nekudas of the difficulty of our generation, the inability to say no, the weakness. It's a very, very weak time that when people are very weak. Because there's such a hergel of Cain. It's a generation of Cain, of yes. And that's why I see this keseda, the kids that come from out of town. Not always, but the out-of-town kids, there's a certain kayach that an out-of-town kid has, because he knew that when he walked down the street, he knew that it wasn't, everything was low, and there was one place at the end of town, maybe, if he lived there, in a larger Jewish community, that there was a place, maybe one or two places you can get a pizza, you can go someplace, or to order in advance to be able to have some fleishiks to go to some. He knew that he had a place, and that was the one place, but everywhere else he went, the people in the street, low. They were off limits. As far as friends, they're not Jewish. They're not. Well, the answer is low. A boy knew that the girls, those girls, low. This food, low. So Mimela, when it comes to things afterwards in life, later in life, he's murgal in the koyach of. Came low. What's right and what's wrong, and to be able to deny himself a certain pleasure, because he doesn't feel that every single thing that he sees, that every single thing that he sees he could potentially have. But when you're walking in the streets of the from communities, anything that you want you could have. Any person is a potential. As a potential soulmate, and every boyfriend or girlfriend, and every store is a potential purchase, and there's a hergel of wanting, there's a hergel of having, that makes it very, very, very hard for the kids to hear afterwards, no. And therefore, when it comes to the Mohammed Svetaivis, they don't know what it means to say no. So the same person that says yes to every vacation, you say yes to your kids for every vacation, every food, and every narishkeit, and every toy, that same child doesn't know what it means to hear no. And when it comes to the things that he must say no to, because God forbid it's a Dovah Shel Isser, he doesn't have the koiches and efforts to do it. So that's what the Rebbe is explaining here. That you have to be, you have to develop into be'etzim, being a lochem, a person who's a warrior. A person who's a warrior. In America, our brothers and sisters, in Eretz Yisrael, so there's a certain time of life where many of the chevra, they have to go through basic training and they're involved in this type. What is it? What do we have? Bechlal, when it comes to even on the most basic level, that a person should, that a person would go to camp. What do we do? What do we have? Where is there any hisnagdus to what we want? When a person at least goes to the army, so every single day there are things that he would rather not do, that he must do, and there's so much hisnagdus to physically and emotionally to what you have to be involved in. But what's the hisnagdus? What's the hisnagdus? We don't grow up in any war games, you understand? What's the war games? What's the hisnagdus? There's no hisnagdus. And if there's no hisnagdus in your life, then you don't develop the koiches of a lochem, of a warrior. And you get flabby and you get weak. And then when it comes to Dvarim Shel Isser, they run you over. You just get blown away by any avery that comes your way. Or any pretty face that comes your way. You're finished. There's no koich of milchama. You don't know what it means to be in a milchama. That's what I was talking about last week. Whenever you wake up, you go to the minyan, there's a minyan. Wherever you want to eat, you go roll into this place to eat. Everything, there's no milchama. So when life comes without a hisnagdus, so without any misnagdim in your life, so then when it comes time for the, God forbid, for Dvarim Shel Isser, when it comes time, so this person davens his whole life, wherever he gets up, he goes 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and then he goes someplace and the boss expects him to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning, to be everything on time, and he has to go daven someplace 6:15, so forget it, he can't deal with it. It's impossible, I can't do that. His whole life he's davening at 8:45, or if it happens to be 9, he just walks around a little bit. And the person doesn't have the koiches of milchama. He doesn't have such koiches. So this is the Rebbe is saying here. You're never certain that you're going to have the strength to overcome your yetzahara. You lack that emotional confidence that you're in charge of your life. You don't have that kind of strength to be in charge of your life. You're always subject to the world that surrounds you, and you could be at any moment you could be defeated by the world around you. That's what the Rebbe says. You never learned to fight keshes. You never learned how to carry the bow and arrow to fight against who? The sign of Akhtanim, the small sign of the minor enemies, the little yetsaharulach, the little tayvulach. You never had basic training. L'nasa gibor v'ish milchama. You never became a gibor. And an ish milchama, you never became a courageous warrior. Ba'dvarim she'ein behem iser, in those areas of life where there's no aveira. There's no aveira. It comes to achila, it comes to taiva, other taivas. That you were never a person that became a warrior. You never became a giba. You never became an ish milchama. In those things she'ein behem iser, but also behem ma'atahi, where there are small taivas. You're a person that has a very, very weak, very soft heart. Very soft heart, and you live in a state of anxiety and fear. Because you know that anything, any test that comes your way, you don't know how it's possible for you to possibly be victorious. The Ishbitz of the Beis Yaakov, Chusei Yilna, says, he talks about the Nisyonis of Avraham Avinu in this parasha, in these parashas, but in this parasha in particular. When this parasha is the greatest, the strongest, the last Nisyon. So he says, you know that the first Nisyon was Lech Lecha. Was Lech Lecha. And the final Nisyon of the Akedah was also Lech Lecha El Eretz HaMoriah. It was also Lech Lecha. So the Beis Yaakov asks, how's it possible to compare? I mean, obviously what's happening here is that the Rabbeinu Shlomo in the Torah is making a hekesh between the hardest nisayon of life, you're killing your own kid, lech lecha, this parsha lech lecha, with what was relatively, among all the nisayonos, the least difficult of all nisayonos, which is what? Lech lecha me'artzecha. It's hard, but how could you compare this with that? And yet davka the hekesh is made, davka the comparison is made between the easiest of the nisayonos, lech lecha me'artzecha, and the hardest, the strongest of all the nisayonos of lech lecha la'aretz Maria, to take Yitzchak up from that Canaan. So the Bishakov asks, why did the Baruch Shalom reveal such a thing, that he says lech lecha by the smallest and lech lecha by the biggest nisayon? So he says a gevaldi gevard. He says that the Baruch Shalom gazes into the heart. Hashem Yir Lelevav gazes into the heart of that person who's able to pass the great nisyanis of life. And he sees the depths of that person's love for Hashem, for Hashem. And because of that, the Baruch Shalom knows that this same person that passes the small nisyanis because of the deep love that he has for Hashem, that this person has that love that will preserve him and hold him when it comes to the bigness yonis of life. And therefore, even when a person goes through the tiny littleness yonis of life and he's successful, the Baruch Shalom looks at him with the same look of love as going through the greatness yonis of life. Because in the Pnimius is the same pure heart that is victorious with the smallness yonis and the heart that is victorious with the greatness yonis of life. Therefore, even when this person has to contend with the smaller nisyanis of day-to-day living, each time the Baruch Shalom says, he counts it as if it's a lech lecha, a la'aretz Maria, like it's an akedah. Because the point is, Hashem Yir Lelevav, Hashem Yisbarach gazes into the heart. There's such a thing, like Gemara says in Brachos, where in a situation where it's not possible, where a person washes his hands, and that rechitza of the hands is viewed by Hashem as being what? Is being like a tefillah in a mikveh. For that person, the rechitz is a tefillah. What does that mean? So the Ishbitzer says that the ikur is that person wanted to purify himself, and his heart is filled with the rotzen to purify himself. At that particular matzav, the best he could do was washing his hands. He couldn't be toivel altogether. But the rotzen halef was very stark, that there should be a tahara. And therefore the Baruch Shalom looks at that as its mamsha tahara, a complete purification. So too, lech lecha me'artzecha and lech lecha la'aretz Maria, when those are the nisyanis that are passed by a person whose pnimius is to do the rotzen Hashem, and whose pnimius is filled with ahavas Hashem, so he says that the Baruch Shalom looks at such a person, And every time that person passes any tiny little nisayin in his daily life, the Baruch Shalom gives him the reward, the schar, of someone who has passed the test of the akedah. Because what's the chiluk? His bemis, there's no chiluk. There's no chiluk. To an outside spectator, to someone who's looking at this from the outside, they say, alright, lech lecha me'artzecha, nu. I also sometimes have to move. People can move. Nu. That's not such a big deal. Lech lecha me'artzecha. The lech lecha la'har Maria, wow, that's something. The akedah, that's something. So the Baruch Shalom davka is megala with those words, lech lecha by the easiest, lech lecha by the hardest, to say that the nekudah is not the actual circumstances of the nisayin. The nekudah is the pnimius halev. And if the pnimius halev is intact, then there's no chilik between the biggest nisayin on earth and the tiniest little nisayinus of life. Because the person lives with one inner ratzon, which is b'tzayin kaini, what the Baruch Shalom wants of me. So mele is not chiluk. So lech lecha me'artzecha, lech lecha la'aretz Maria, it's all one thing. And all the nisyanis in between, which are all the nisyanis of life, like the Swami Kadeshim say, that the 10 nisyanis of Avraham Avinu are the nisyanis that every Jew goes through in life. Every Jew goes through in life. So then you could also ask the same kasha. What's the big nisayon of lech lecha? What's the big nisayon of lech lecha? Even al har Maria, El Eretz Maria, rather. What's the big nisayon of the Akedah? Avraham Avinu was such a great person. But the Nekudas HaLev is consistent throughout. So what the Rebbe is saying here is that a person who becomes a Gibor and an Ish Mulchama in the small things, so he be'etzim is a Gibor and an Ish Mulchama. So that when it comes to the big things, there's no nafkamit. The same person who is victorious in the small tests of life, so he has those kaychas to be victorious in the greater battles of life. But the person who never ever has to contend with nisyonos, and that's what all the parents are trying to build for their children nowadays, a life that's nisyonos free. And the irony is that the kids have never ever had such nisyonos like they have nowadays. I thank the Baruch Shalom every day that I wasn't growing up in this time, because how the kids supposed to be with the nisyonos now they have. So what they need are the greatest kaychas that Jews ever needed in history, the children need now. There was never an internet, we didn't have these things, all of the things, it's crazy. So the kids need now the biggest kaychas, much bigger kaychas than any ever before the children need. And the whole generation is raising them with a mahalach of indulging, of not struggling, that everything should be easy. See, if the internet was at a time, you know, 100 years ago, of course that's all science fiction. But if the internet was where the people were be'etzim, giborim, and anshei melchama, so then there was a chance. But nowadays, a kid sits down with a machine, he presses a button, and so what? He's supposed to have the kaychus not to press a different button. There's nobody in the room, so the parents think, sure, he'll be all right. Why not? You give them this machine and that machine, and everybody has machines and everything, and the kids have these nisyonos. They don't have the kaychas to say no. The parents never said no to them. So how did they have the kaychas to say no to themselves? No one ever said no to them. So they're going to say no to themselves? What, are they crazy? How do we expect that of them? They don't have the kaychas on nefesh. If a person lives without nisyonos, or not like that, if a person doesn't have to contend with the smaller nisyonos of life, then with the bigger nisyonos, he doesn't have a fighting chance when it comes to the big nisyonos. How's he supposed to pass the big nisyonos? And in life, there are so many nisyonos. That's why you see these 18-year-olds, these 19-year-olds, they're going under the chuppah. And you look like it's really much, much, much scarier than Lech Lecha Eretz HaMaria. When they're going under the chuppah, it's much scarier than going to that Keda, you know, much scarier. Much scarier. So you get this guy, and you know, he's marrying this cute little guy, this cute little girl, and they're having this cute little apartment and a cute little life. And then, and he wants everything, you know. He's married now, and his little cute little wife says to him, "No, whatever it is, I'm not going into any problem. You know what I mean? Not now." What? What? My mother never said that word. And I never heard that in my life. My Rebbe, my mother, my friends never said to me no. And the wife says, no. Oy vavoy. Oh, he's dead. Shalom bayis, shalom bayis. And they have counseling and help and speeches and seminars and shalom bayis to take people who never heard the word no and then put them into marriage, where the whole meaning of marriage is to be misgabered. That when someone to be mice and nefesh for someone that you love, that you don't take for yourself, you do for the other person. That means to say no to yourself a million times. When you're married, the whole meaning of being married is to be able to say no. Not to somebody else, to say to yourself. That's what a lot of people think. A lot of people think it means to someone else. But to say to yourself, to say no, and you're married. You feel like doing something and your wife doesn't want to go. You want to, or you don't want, and she wants. And everything is a mulchama. So what happens? The house becomes a battlefield. It's a battlefield. Because you never had anything in your life like that before where it didn't go the way you wanted. You never had it. It was always it went the way that you wanted. And all of a sudden you're living with somebody else and you live with another person. So it's not so posh. Even when you have just a roommate before you married, you're still bach and yeshiva. It's not the same thing as being like with mommy. So then, even when you were with a friend in yeshiva and a roommate, so it's not, it's kisseda the way that you want. So you have unbelievable agnus nefesh and this and that, and he leaves this like that and turns the light on and does this and does that, and you can't bear it. And then this, and then, and at least if a person has to get used to that, then maybe he could have a little bit of atzlocha when he's married. But then you get these young, you know, they want to get married, this, whatever, 19, 20, they want to get married, and they're babies, and they never, ever win any milchama at all in their lives. They had no milchama. The hardest day of their life was when they were, you know, that they went on a tiyul, when they were in Eretz Yisrael, in yeshiva, and they, you know, they, it was hot, and they had to walk, like, for, you know, an hour and a half up a mountain or something. So they prepared for marriage because of that. But every single second there's all kinds of vinyanim, all kinds of nisyanis in Tikkun Amidus. Every in marriage, every single minute is of an avoid in Tikkun Amidus. Someone wants something, you want something else, and being able to being mevatet to another person, that means you have to be a giver in ish milchama. You have to be a giver in ish milchama. How many milchamas I can't say, because it's not the talk, you know, Barabbam, they have vinyanim like this where a husband's expecting certain inyanim to indulge with certain with the taivas, and the wife doesn't feel up to it, doesn't feel well, the chayis is tired, and there's milchamis mamish to make her miserable and feel tzibrochen from all of these things. You can't say no to me. Because why? Because I have a taiva. I have a taiva. You have a taiva, so what's with your taiva? And then the wives lose respect for the husband. They see the husband such a bal taiva. She doesn't feel well. And v'chula, 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 and he still wants his taiva. And he doesn't know how to hear the word no. All of these milchamas that are going on in homes, that come from this nakuda of not being able to, not being a person that ever had nisyanis. Or he had nisyanis, and he was indulged in his nisyanis.
Somebody says,
that
Hashem never said no.
That's exactly, and that's the shirish of, and he ends up killing him. That ends up killing him. That's the shirish of all failed parenting. And David HaMelech says on himself. David HaMelech knew himself. That's the shirish. That's a very good point. That's the shirish of all failed parenting. But when you're living, what's now is to live in an atmosphere of yes. And then especially if you're living, I don't know where it's different than other neighborhoods, and you're living in a neighborhood of yes, and in an atmosphere of yes, so that they don't know how to be disappointed. Kids can't be disappointed anymore. And then when they get married, when they're under the chuppah, they can't be disappointed. So then it turns out that she's not as beautiful as he thought, because whenever he met her, she had makeup on, right? So then she was all farputz, you know, when they're going out. And then all of a sudden, you know, he gets up one day and he sees somebody over there and he says, "Excuse me, you know where my wife is?" She says, "Honey, it's me." I never saw you. What's the matter? I don't look okay. No, just different. You look different. Oy vey. So she's nervous. She has to. She sees he doesn't like that. So she has to. Every single minute of her life, she has to be with her laboratory, with all of her stuff. She has to work on herself because my husband is going to be disappointed. I'm not saying that one shouldn't try to please the other. Don't get me wrong. It's always nice for each one to try to please the other. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about to be able to deal with disappointments on any level. As disappointments. You have now someone that they're married for a year. The husband and wife, they're married for a year. They want to get a house. They want to get a house. And the house costs like, you know, $795,000. And they have a little bit from the chasna in the bank. And they want to get a house, and you know, you want to tell them, you know, you might have to wait a little bit. That's a lot of money. That's almost $1 million. You know, you want to get a house, you have to live in an apartment. But look at so and so and so and so and so and so. I should live in an apartment. You should sell your house and get me a house. They don't say, but they think it. That I should live in an apartment. These are the hasagas. So you understand, these are dvarm shel heter, because I'm talking about dvarm shel. So when it comes to dvarm shel iser, who are we talking about? Gibayrim? We're talking about the weakest of the weak. so that any disappointment comes along in life and forget it. So it's all ungebus and zerbrochen and life is no good. Life is terrible. Have a miserable life. You go talk to people now, but they have to go through big nisyanis and deprivation and sorrows with health, God forbid, parnasa. They know how to deal with the nisyanis, the little nisyanis. But that's how it is. So the Rebbe says that we have to ourselves, since we have to train ourselves to be able to be anshei melchama. And the way to train yourself is, even in those things that you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to eat. That's why, you know, I always make a big deal about the Indian, you know, like after Yom Kippur, that all the lines in front of the pizza shops and the restaurants after Yom Kippur. You know, so after Pesach, you know, the chametz that you have to be the first, you know, to have chametz after Pesach. Okay, but that whole Indian life, because you didn't have pizza for a week, so you know, it was hard week. It was a hard week. The kids will tell you that. You talk to the kids, it was a hard week to be without pizza. So then so you have to go stand online. After Pesach, to stand online to go get pizza, to stand online.
Now they have just about everything. Growing up, they didn't have everything kosher for Passover. Now they have everything anyway.
Of course,
when we grew up, you couldn't have certain things for a week. But now they have everything.
And if they don't have everything, so then you have a timer. Then there's a timer if they don't have everything. But then it has to be right away after Pesach, and there should be chametz, the first drop of chametz. So, is that awesome? No, it's not awesome. It's noch Pesach, and a person's allowed to eat chametz, and if only going with davke have something of chametz afterwards to make a chiluk between Pesach and noch Pesach, but the taiva for a piece of pizza, the taiva to for drum shel hata, to be able to be a person that doesn't you don't have to have it now, so you'll have a pizza tomorrow. The kids look at you like you're some sort of a crazy, you know. No other people do that. It's such a chumr. What kind of chumr is that? Is it mutter to have it? It's mutter. So why can't we have it? If it's mutter, why not? That's the title of our generation. If it's mutter, why not? Same thing with these trips and elaborate things. And now they're already advertising Shabbos Chanukah in the hotel. You saw? My wife showed me last night. Shabbos Chanukah. In the hotel, Shabbos Chanukah. Didn't we think that at least Chanukah you have your own Pesach, you have your own window, is there anything sweeter on earth on a cold winter, on a cold Chanukah night, on a Shabbos Chanukah, being in your house with a menorah, Shabbos Chanukah in the mountains with a picture of a big Chanukah and people are skiing in the background. Shabbos Chanukah, I don't know how you're supposed to ski on Shabbos Chanukah, but anyway, I guess you go earlier and you leave later. But Shabbos Chanukah in the mountains, and there are people you want to bet it's going to be full? I bet you it's going to be full. Because there's somebody right now that's looking at, not, it's too early for, but a little bit, an hour or two in the coffee shop, there's going to be having breakfast. It's also a pal how people have so much time for breakfast and coffee shop. So they're going to be sitting there looking at the newspaper, say, two ladies are going to sit, two of the Chasheva ladies on Central Avenue, and you look and say, did you see that Shabbos Chanukah? That looks good. What do you think? You know, I'm very tired. Shabbos Chanukah, they come over, the kids, and this one, that one. It's not a bad idea. What do you say? And that's it. You know, that's it. They come home. The husbands come home. I saw it today about Shabbos Chanukah. It looks very, very nice. She's going. Shabbos Chanukah. And then you got to go with like a plastic menorah someplace. And light a menorah in a dining room with 400 people waiting for some, you know, for some guy to bring you your supper on Shabbos Chanukah. And you look at yourself and you say, it was such happy people, because all the zhlobs back in the city are having Shabbos Chanukah in their home, with their menorah at the window, or their menorah at the door, the mezuzah. That's how they're having Shabbos Chanukah. You want to see, it'll be packed. And by next year, it's not going to be one place, there are going to be 10 places, Shabbos Chanukah. A new musik in Chanukah. Shabbos Chanukah in the mountains. Next year, it's going to be Shabbos Chanukah in Miami. And Shabbos Chanukah in the Bahamas. Now it's in the Catskills. But you'll see next year, it's going to be in the Bahamas. Why should stay only? Why should only the Catskills be zeicher for a couple of idiots who spend their money like that? So the Bahamas also only be zeicher, right? But you know, I'm saying it in a very, very not nice way, because to make a strong point, and I don't mean, God forbid, to any person to insult, but to make that point, understand the flabbiness of our generation. How could that even be attractive to a person? Shabbos, Chanukah, in a hotel. Why would that even? I'm not talking about if someone goes to, for let's say there's a Shabbaton to be Makarva, the Jews, or something like that. I also had to, people do that. That's something I'm not talking about, that because Shabbos, Chanukah, a lot of non-religious people, Chanukah, they have a feeling of a shaychus to Chanukah. If you could go someplace, even to a hotel, and you could talk to Jews and be Machazik of the Yidden of Vav, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Stam. Shabbos, Chanukah, you know, in a hotel. How could a person want such a thing? Where does it come to want such a thing, to be away? Shabbos, Chanukah. Where does such a chesha come from? So this is the when it comes to not having things that are osir to you, because that's mutter. No one's going to say, yeah, it's osir to go to a hotel for Chanukah. It's not osir. There's nothing wrong. I mean, al pi din, there's nothing wrong. The seder. But then that develops a personality of having. A personality of yes. And then when it comes to things in life that you can't have, they're mechshalim, Rabbi said, they're mechshalim in this community, in other communities, mechshalim in Dvarim Shel Issa Mamish. I don't want to talk about the fairies, but Dvarim Shel Issa Mamish, on a crazy level. Dvarim Shel Issa Mamish. That people, that it's hard to believe. And people who still get up and go to shul and can put on a yarmulke and they keep Shabbos. And mechshalim and Dvarim Shel Issa Mamish. Because if they're not used to the word no, so then they can't say no. So the Rebbe says, he remains a weak-hearted person. He's a weak person. He's like a tiny little, a withered little plant. When even if a small wind comes along, it uproots. It's a tiny little plant that's weak. You're not a person that's strong. And even if a strong wind comes along, I told you my last year that I had a girl that called me. I don't know who she is, from someplace. She called me up and she's crying and crying. That how could I told you this last year that she had a terrible, terrible thought. I said, what is it? Who are you? What happened? She says that her grandfather passed away. And I said, oh, Baruch Dan Emeswa. And how could Hashem do this? How could Hashem do this? I said, how old was? He was 93 years old. And she said to me, how could Hashem do this to me? How could Hashem do this to me? Don't get me wrong. You think I don't feel a Jew dies? It's not a sad thing. You have a grandfather lived to be 93 in Arichas Yom. How could Hashem do that to you? What do you mean? How could Hashem do that to you? But you understand? There's a girl that never in her life that someone took something away from her. Never in her life. So she loved the Zaydi. That's beautiful. But she can't understand how could there be a just God in the universe there, after the Inquisition and all the pogroms and after the Holocaust. That she can be civil. But that her 93-year-old grandfather, she was zeichet to have with her all of those years, which is a schus. Many of us never had grandparents at all. She had a 93-year-old grandfather, and she can't understand how could God be a good God. Tzadik v'yoshehu, kel amun v'ein avo. If my grandfather, he was such a good man, she says to him, he was so good, how could Hashem take him away? He's so good. As I said, you should be happy for all that you had, Baruch Hashem. You had so many years with him, and you should try to remember in a good way. She can't, her emunah is endangered. She has sveikus in emunah. That she lost a 93-year-old grandfather. No?
Probably sleeping during the night,
right? It was very sweet. Right, it wasn't, God forbid, like in an accident or something terrible. Yeah.
Sleep and
then
wake up.
Yeah. Which is the biggest bracha. You had an arichas yamim and to die in a soft way. But her emunah, she doesn't know if she can get up and daven anymore. How could I daven to such a God that takes away my grandfather? I don't know, what were you expecting? How is it going to continue? How much, what were you thinking? So, you mean, okay, but sometimes it's like, you know, it's not so many times or something. So, it would be nice, but it's not so often. So, but the whole thing, like I got off the phone, I was thinking, and I felt so bad. I felt bad for her too, but I didn't feel bad for the loss of the grandfather, because that's the teva of the world. It's beyond the teva of the world, 93 years. I felt bad for her. because I know that when she's going to be married, she's having sveikus and emunah, and she doesn't have to daven because of this. So there's so many real messianis in life when it comes to emunah, to be a yid, it's a ma'amin. But the whole emunah is shaken by it. It's a pachad. That's the Rebbe says. Sits neivel shagam neged ruach katan liyuchal amay. You become a withered little plant, and a tiny wind comes along and it blows you away. Kriya kala ki yishma min yitzor. When you hear the slightest little call of your yitzahara, kriya kala, the yitzahara calls out a little thing. Ki yishma min yitzor kvar yirpu birkav. Your knees are already faulty. You become weak. You don't have the strength. You get a little bit of a call coming up from the yitzahara, a little bit of a kriya kala. Ki yishma min yitzor kvar yirpu birkav umalai kamasa lefanav yipa. And you bow down. Kairim mishtachim to the Yetzirah. Kairim mishtachim. You fall on your knees and you bow down to the Yetzirah. When it's a kriya kala, not even a big thing, a kriya kala, you can't deal with it. Well, b'seif hakadosh beis aron balikutim. The next page. I should b'seif from the second Rabban Kalina. Chafetzecha asurim. So you know by Shabbos. The pasuk says chafetzecha asurim, chafetzei shamayim mutarim. Chafetzecha asurim means that weekday things of your own personal weekday things, chafetzecha asurim. So the Kalina says peirush haklal chafetzecha asurim vos de vilt. He says tarmenit. If you want something badly, that what you want is forbidden to you. Kol ma shereitz ata osa lecha. Chafetzecha. If you want something badly, it's a simon that it's not too good for you. And that's the maisa I've told you very often here about Reb Shlomo Kalina. Reb Shlomo Kalina, when he was a little boy, and he was in town walking, and he was crying. And there was a yid there that stopped and said, Shlomo, what's wrong? So he said to the person, I'm hungry. And the person said, but you're holding a piece of bread. He was holding a piece of bread in his hand, the little boy. So the man said, you have a piece of bread? What do you mean you're hungry? So he says, I know, but I heard from my Rebbe that if I want something very badly, then I shouldn't have it. Then it's not good for me. If I want something badly, it's not good for me. Just the opposite of the way we think now. If I want something badly, it must be good for me. Chafetzecha asurim. Think of that pasuk. That's a pasuk. This Torah from the Beis Aaron. Chafetzecha, you want something? It's probably awesome for you. Doesn't mean it's awesome. What do you mean? It's kosher. If you want it too badly, you shouldn't have it. If you want something so badly, it's not good for you. Chafetzech asur. What do you mean, why? Why is it asur? Just imagine coming home and saying this, just imagine like saying this barabim, if I would give this, get up on Shabbos morning and say, Rabbi, say if you want something, it's bad for you. Chafetzech asur. But you understand what the tzaddik was saying is to be a strong person. Chafetzecha asur. If you want something too bad, why do you want that so badly? I'm not talking about, finishing Yevamos. Talking about something. We have a title. Chafetzecha. Chafetzecha, not chafetzei shemayim. That's what the Gemara says. Chafetzecha is chafetzei shemayim mutar. Chafetzei shemayim mutar. Chafetzecha asur. Because you have a chafetz for something. You have a chafetz? Why do you have a chafetz for it? Why do you have a chafetz for it? Why do you want it? It's probably also for you. Also doesn't mean it's forbidden up halacha. You can have all the hashem. It's got all the, everybody looks to see there's some Hebrew writing on this package. Well, there's Hebrew, it's okay. Right? So, but it's kosher. It's kosher. But why do you want that? If it's a matter of what the tzaddikim would eat, to be able to, with the Avodas Hashem, to eat, the person needs to eat in order to live. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. But just, if you stop and think, imagine, next time you go to a simcha, and you're like, the 14th person online by the carving thing, with the cutting pastrami, and you're standing there with your plate, and you're like the 14th person, and you're waiting for the pastrami, and they give you not even the kezayas, right? They give you like that, and you're standing there with your plate. It's a sad thing. If you'd be in a picture, it looks very sad. If there'd be a picture of that, it looks very sad. You stand with a little plate and a fork, and there's a whole bunch of people, and there's a guy, that's giving you a little piece of pastrami. And if you go home, you can have a lot of pastrami. But over there, you had a little piece of pastrami. And you're standing in line. And you come there, and imagine you come there, you just say, Chafetz Echaz, what are... So the Torah says, I'm hungry. There's nothing wrong with being hungry. There's nothing wrong with having something to eat. What's wrong is never saying no to ourselves. And if we would be giborim, and to come to some place where you want to eat, like the tightness of the Ravid, right? The Ravid to where you're very, very hungry and you're eating a meal and you don't finish the meal. That's a very powerful thing. It's not just a matter of when it comes to eating, it's a matter of everything in life. To be able to push away a plate of food, that's only military training, that's basic training. But in life you're going to have to push away a lot of plates. You're going to have to say no to a lot of plates. And if you never did that, and every single plate that came your way, you brought to you, then when it comes to things in life, God forbid, that are really also, not kosher pastrami, but things that are also, you're not going to have the kriches to push the plate away. You have to be a person that can push something away. That's when it's chafetz echaz. If you want something badly, get used to pushing it away. It's probably not good for you. If you want it so badly, if you just didn't eat, you didn't eat supper, and you come to a place, you want to have something to eat, so have something to eat. But if you want it very badly, it's better for you not to have it. For us, it sounds like it's a crazy thing. But that's a musig of what it means to be a yid, such a musig. Chafetz echaz asur. He says v'kein. It's easy to remember. Chafetz echaz asur. Keep those two words in your head when you come to something new. And you see all the things going ding, 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 everything lighting up. Chafetz echaz asur. It's probably not good for you. If you want it so badly, you see the things that are very good for you, you usually don't want so badly. The things that are really good for you, you don't want so badly. It's like water, right? Yeah, nobody. So I once spoke to you about that. Remember, Chaim Volozhin and Ruach Chaim talks about how when it comes to Dvarim Shebekdusha, you don't find that a person dreams about them and has all kinds of. You know, when it comes to the Dvarim Shel Issa, you have all kinds of tivus. When it comes to the Dvarim Shel Hatter, when it comes to not Hatter, I mean, Shel Mitzvah. When it comes to something that's a mitzvah, a tzaddikim dream about that, and daydream, and at night, and waiting, and thinking. But when it comes to regular people, when it comes to a mitzvah, you'll do the mitzvah. You like to do a mitzvah, there's no problem, but it's not like you're dreaming about the mitzvah and you can't wait, like a benedictine is sitting there the whole night waiting to put on tefillin, right? After a whole Pesach or a whole Sukkot, the benedictine is sitting there looking at his tefillin until he can put on his tefillin. You don't see that. It's not a regular thing. It's by the benedictine. It's not a regular thing. Those things that are good for you, you don't have a cheshek for. Those things that are not good for you, you have a cheshek for. That's how it is. In Baruch Shalom Meir, so this is why we have Bechir Chavshis. Because if we would really know how good a mitzvah is for us, like the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, then we would go crazy to get mitzvahs. So the Baruch Shalom Meir, like it's an even thing in this world, we have Bechir Chavshis. So you think that which is not good for you is good for you, and what is good for you is not so good for you. So you have a taiva for something that's bad, and you don't have a taiva for something that's good. And that way we have Bechir Chavshis, because if Be'emes, if we would really, really see what a mitzvah is, our taiva for it would be unbelievable. We wouldn't be able to manage between shachas and mincha. You wouldn't be able to go on till it's time that you'd be able to daven mincha. So from breakfast to lunch you can't manage. So right, you can't manage. I'm starving from breakfast to lunch. Chafetz echaz asur. Chafetz shamayim lutar. When it comes to the Baruch Shalom's things, so between shachas and mincha, you wouldn't mind if mincha was delayed till tomorrow also. It would also be alright. Because it's good for you. And if it's good for you, you don't have a natural taiva for it. If it's good for you. But the Baruch Shalom made it in such a way that Rabbi Chaim Volozhin says this should be Bechir Chavshis. And also it wouldn't be a balanced, it wouldn't be a Muhammad, or it would be what they call in the street a no-brainer. If you have a choice between being a tzaddik and being a rosha, or between a mitzvah and a aveir, it's a no-brainer. So the Baruch Shalom made it in such a way that when it comes to things that are aser, there you want it. And when it comes to a mitzvah, you don't have a natural desire for it. That's the avoid of a person in this world. He says, V'chein ba'anal, on Kuf Habeis. He says, V'chein ba'anal, And Be'emes writes after Shleitiyah Chasu Shalom and Arishayim Shem Beshus Libam. In the embassy says, if you don't want to be among those people who are Rishoyim, God forbid, who the Rishoyim are described by Chazal as being Birshus Libam, their hearts are in control of them. They're under the control of their hearts, of their desires. Rakman Tzadikim Shalibam Birshusam. But you want to be from the Tzadikim, Shalibam Birshusam. Shalibam Birshusam, who are the Balabatim over their hearts. Loitahek Hefke, Venichnul Chaltai B'chashon. You shouldn't be a hefker and give in and to bow down to every taiva that comes your way. But instead, you are what? You are moishel atzmcha, murad nefeshcha. You're the balabas of your own soul. You're the balabas. You remember I told you about there was a yid that came to the kotzke and he said he has all kinds of machshavas. He can't control. He has horrible thoughts during davening and during the day. So the Koska said to him, you know how the Koska didn't explain things so much. So the Koska said to him, "Don't have them." That's what he said. So he said what? He said, the Koska said the I don't have them. I can't. He said, the Koska said no. Don't have them. And he walked out. And he said, "I'm not in control. Don't have them." Koska said, "Don't have them." The guy was dragging around a little bit outside, and he comes home, and he sees there are a bunch of chassidim that are emptying out his entire house. They're taking out all of his furniture, they're taking out his house. And he starts, and the wife is screaming at them, and the man says, "What are you doing here?" So he said, "The chassidim said, the Rebbe told us to take out everything from your house." So he starts to scream, "But it's my house. It's my house." The chassidim don't care. The Rebbe said to take out everything from the house. So they're emptying out the house, and the guy runs over to the Kotzke, and he says, "Rebbe, what's the chassidim are taking everything out from the house." So the Kotzke says, "So what?" So he said, it's my house." So the Kotzke said, "What?" He said, "I'm the balabas." So the Kotzke said, "What do you mean?" He said, "What comes into my house and what goes out of my house is my decision, not the Rebbe's decision." So he says, "Oh, Azoy." He says, "You're the balabas. When I told you about the machshavos, about the disgusting things that you think about, so then you're not able to decide what comes in your head and what goes out of your head. But your furniture, that you're the balabas, is to be a balabas over yourself. That's the tachlis of life, not to be a balabas over your furniture. But the person that's not a balabas over himself, that's what it means. A murad nefeshcha, to be a balabas over yourself." And if you want to use this strategy that we were learning now, which we're going to talk about more next week in Mitzvah Shem, not to get into the Machshava, but to think about, like we were talking about last week, from a distance, then you must begin with tiny little tremors of hisrakshus, of desire, and little hisrakshus that come up in life. He gives an example. For instance, if they serve to you two types of meat, I bet you Shabbos Chanukah they're going to be more than two in the hotel. But let's just say it's Achmanis and you couldn't go. So your wife only brought you shnei minei basa, two types of meat. You look at one of them, you see there are two meats, and you look at one of them. Right? And there's one that you want more. That's called chafetzacha. You like one more. Right? So there's the pastrami and the roast. And you're at the carving station. And you're waiting, you're ready 15, 20 minutes at the carving station. And there's pastrami and there's roast. And you look, and there's one that you like much more than the other. Oz echol es min hasheni. Practice. Eat the other one. You like them both, but you like the other one more. Eat. That's already chafetzecha asur. Eat the one that you don't like as much. It's also good, but eat the one that you don't like as much.
Sounds extreme.
Sounds very extreme. It's getting ready for. I just want to tell you this one thing. I'll tell you something interesting. I once shared this with you. I remember years ago, I was Shulam Shudas. I was by Shlomo Freifeld in his house. Zechus Haglev Rochem. Shlomo was a gewaldige yid. And only if you knew him, you know what that means when I say gewaldig. So it was by Shulam Shudas, and Reb Shlomo was describing to us, He said that years ago when he was a bacher, and in those days I guess Chaim Blum must have been in East New York back then. So he said that there was a big Talmud Chacham in Chaim Blum, a big Talmud Chacham. You're able to go to ask him anything in learning in Shas, open this Talmud Chacham. And he was sitting in Bis Medrash, this Talmud Chacham, and anything, and the guys used to go ask him. And Rav Hutton used to go send to ask him if you have in learning this year. But the guys never went in for Shabbos. You know, they used to eat different places, the Bachman, they were from out of town. They didn't go to him for Shabbos. And the Rashiva did not encourage, Rav Shlomo said the Rashiva did not encourage guys to go to him for Shabbos. And it was funny, because Rashiva used to say to guys, go here for Shabbos. You know, he used to tell them where they're going, the Mashgiach, the Rashiva. In those days, Rabbi Victor Miller was the Mashgiach. And he used to assign where to go to Shabbos. And this Talmud Chacham, the Rashiva never gave him guys for Shabbos. So Rav Shlomo said that he went with a few of the guys, and they loved this Talmud Chacham. He was terrific. A wonderful man, a huge Talmud. They wanted to go from the Shabbos, and they went and asked the Rashiva. Rashiva said, he wasn't excited, but they said, but Rav Shlomo said with the guys, we want to go to be Mahanim for Shabbos. Because he asked us something to come. So they went we went for Shabbos, and it was very, very nice. Everything was great. And Shalom Aleichem, Kiddush Gevaldik. So listen what happened. You had to see how Rav Shlomo did it, because Rav Shlomo acted out the whole thing. And when he was healthy, he was a giver, you know? So Rav Shlomo said that it came time after the fish or something, and he said to his wife, he leaned back to Talmud Chacham, he said to bring out the beer. There was a certain beer that he liked, and Rav Shlomo said the name of the beer, I don't remember. And he said to bring out my beer. You know, after the fish, to bring out my beer. And the wife gasped. She forgot to get the beer. And the Bochum, Rav Shlomo said, the Bochum, he was there. And he said, they sat there, and he said, where's my, and the Talmud Chacham said, where's my beer? And she said, it was late, and she was so frightened. And he said that the Talmud Chacham started pounding on the table. The candles fell down. Listen to this. And he started turning things over, and he says, my beer! And he's like a lunatic. He said they ran out of the house. And when they came, then they saw the Rashiva Sunday morning. So the Rashiva said, now you understand? He said a Pesach in Mishlei, Shlomo was darshaning, he was talking to us about a Pesach in Mishlei about, you know, being Moshel B'yos Hashem, not that Pesach, but something about having, he says, it could be the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, but a beer. And then Rav Shlomo said over that name of the beer, I just don't remember, like 20 times, for that beer. And he said something like, it wasn't a bad beer. But for that, your whole Shabbos, your wife, you have to ruin, and not to be embarrassed in front of the Bochum. But that's what it means, not to be a Gibber. You could rule over the whole Shas, but not over yourself.